Dear family and friends of St. Kieran's, please join us for our midweek meditation where we explore the subject of covenants and what this means for us today. And this is part 6. But first, let's pray. God of creation, faithful, covenant-keeping God, we thank you that by your Holy Spirit you take your word and give us life through it. Help us to listen and understand so that in our daily lives we may live for you and glorify you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our readings for today are from the books of Samuel, and I'm reading from the NIV. The first reading is from 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 1, and then verse 10 to 13. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king." From verse 10, Jesse had 7 of his sons pass before Samuel, but Samuel said to him, "The Lord has not chosen these." So he asked Jesse, "Are these all the sons you have?" "There is still the youngest," Jesse answered, "but he is tending the sheep." Samuel said, "Send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives." So he sent and had him brought in. He was ruddy, with a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, "Rise and anoint him. He is the one." So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. Samuel then went to Ramah. Then we come to 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 1 to 17. By this time, David was the king. After the king was settled in his palace and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies around him, he said to Nathan the prophet, "Here I am, living in a palace of cedar, while the ark of God remains in a tent." Nathan replied to the king, "Whatever you have in mind, go ahead and do it, for the Lord is with you." That night the word of the Lord came to Nathan, saying, "Go and tell my servant David, this is what the Lord says. Are you the one to build me a house to dwell in? I have not dwelt in a house from the day I brought the Israelites up out of Egypt to this day. I have been moving from place to place with a tent as my dwelling. Wherever I have moved with all the Israelites, did I ever say to any of their rulers whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, 'Why have you not built me a house of cedar?' Now then, tell my servant David, this is what the Lord Almighty says. I took you from the pasture and from following the flock to be ruler over my people Israel. I have been with you wherever you have gone, and I have cut off all your enemies from before you. Now I will make your name great, like the names of the greatest men of the earth. And I will provide a place for my people Israel, and will plant them so that they can have a home of their own and no longer be disturbed. Wicked people will not oppress them any more, as they did at the beginning and have done so ever since the time I appointed leaders over my people Israel. I will also give you rest from all your enemies. The Lord declares to you that the Lord himself will establish a house for you. When your days are over and you rest with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, who will come from your own body, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father and he will be my son. When he does wrong, I will punish him with the rod of men, with floggings inflicted by men. But my love will never be taken away from him as I took it away from Saul, whom I removed from before you. Your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever." Nathan reported to David all the words of this entire revelation. May God bless his word to us today and always. Today we look at the covenant that comes before our final covenant established through Jesus Christ, the new covenant, also known as the covenant of consummation. What we will be looking at is the covenant of the kingdom, a covenant that God made with David and the significant promises that came with it. It is also known as the Davidic covenant. Our text begins with God sending Samuel to the house of Jesse to anoint David as king of Israel, to replace Saul. This happens But despite this, Saul would continue as king for a further 15 years before David would finally assume his role as king of Judea. A further 7 years later, he would be king over all Israel. Certainly a lesson in patience. Be that as it may, our third reading from 2 Samuel chapter 7 is considered by the Jews to be the most important passage in the books of Samuel, and one of the key passages in the whole of the Old Testament, because it discusses the future of both the Jerusalem sanctuary and the Davidic monarchy, the two institutions which were vital to the people of Israel for several centuries after David. Through the prophet Nathan, God made firm promises to David about both these things. These solemn divine promises amounted to an everlasting covenant given to David. And what is quite important to note is that this Davidic covenant arises and functions within the period of the covenant of law. One might say it is embedded within the framework of the covenant of law, or Mosaic covenant as it is otherwise known. The two themes, that of the future of the Jerusalem sanctuary and of the Davidic monarchy, are cleverly linked by the use of the word house. In verses 5 to 7, God says to Nathan the prophet that he is to remind David that from the time he had brought the Israelites out of Egypt to the present, he has never required a house. Then in verse 11, God says to David, "The Lord declares to you that the Lord himself will establish a house for you." And here is the second use of the word house. Now, the Hebrew word for house not only meant an ordinary house, but also a temple, and thirdly, a dynasty, just as in English the current British royal family is called the House of Windsor. In this instance, God ultimately promises that a house, meaning a temple, would be built, but not by David. But more importantly, that God would provide a house for David, meaning a dynasty. God's promises about both these things are brought together in verse 13, where he says, "He, that is David's son, is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever." Verse 16 later on clarifies that the promise is not from Solomon onwards, for God says to David, "Your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever." But what does the word forever mean or allude to? We know from Scripture that of David's successors, many were weak or sinful. Yet the dynasty continued unbroken for roughly 4 centuries. If we examine the Davidic covenant, this covenant of the kingdom, we see God says 2 important things. Firstly, your throne will go on forever. That is in verse 16. Your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever. In a literal historical sense, as I mentioned, the Davidic dynasty lasted for about 400 years, right up to the point where Jerusalem fell to the Babylonians. At that time, it was possibly the longest dynasty of any of the neighboring nations, since while the family of David continued to exist, they never regained the throne. Regarding the time period of the dynasty, O.P. Robinson says the following, and I quote, "The average dynasty in Egypt and Mesopotamia during the days of greatest stability was something less than 100 years. David's successors even outlasted the long-lived 18th dynasty of Egypt, which endured for about 250 years. End quote. How then are we to understand the message in our reading in the face of such dramatic historical events? To begin with, it tells us that God is not dependent on temples, and his people therefore do not need temples. It was Stephen, the first martyr in the book of Acts, chapter 7, verse 44 to 50, who quoted Psalm 11, stating, "Yet the Most High does not dwell in houses made by hands. As the prophet says, heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool." Next, God's promise about David's descendants was permanent. Thus, it seeks a fulfillment that is beyond David's physical descendants, and this may be found in the person of Jesus the Messiah. Which brings us to the second important thing God said of his covenant with David. "I will place my name in Jerusalem," this with reference to the temple, and linked very closely with David's dynasty being forever, is the concept of a place where God would dwell, so to speak. In verse 13, God said Solomon would build a house for my name in Jerusalem, and in a very real way, the throne of David was seen by Israel to exist hand in hand with the throne of God, the temple in Jerusalem, with each successive king in the Davidic dynasty acting as mediator of the Davidic covenant to the people. God's throne was centered in Palestine, and in the Israelites' minds, a literal earthly reign of God came into being. But this, we know, was a shadow of things to come. In any case, over the years, we see God is faithful to his covenant in spite of Solomon's unfaithfulness in introducing false gods to Israel. So at the end of Solomon's reign, God tells him that because of his particular unfaithfulness, the kingdom would be torn from him. This you can find in 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 11 to 14. But God makes an exception, and in verse 13 says to Solomon, "However, I will not tear away all the kingdom, but I will give one tribe to your son, for the sake of David my servant, and for the sake of Jerusalem, where I have chosen to put my name." And so we see how the covenant with David, the covenant of the kingdom, remains intact. And even though God determines to punish the ongoing breakdown in the covenant because of the family line of David, he does so for the sake of David and for the sake of Jerusalem, where he had chosen to presence himself. Clearly then, we have a problem with the forever terms which God spoke to David about. Remember, when the Babylonian Empire arises, the dynasty of David ceases to exist, and the temple, God's place where he said he had put his name, is also completely destroyed. How then do we resolve the idea of forever? The solution is to understand that, in the overarching purposes of God, David's lineage and rule over God's chosen people Israel anticipated in shadow form, as a type, as it were, the eternal character of the reign of Jesus Christ over all things, over all those who belong to God. Just as the Levitical priesthood anticipated the abiding priesthood of Jesus Christ, and just as Moses and the school of the prophets anticipated Jesus, the ultimate prophet, so David and his throne anticipated the gracious reign of the coming Messiah. There are 58 New Testament references to David, including the often repeated title given to Jesus in the Gospels as the Son of David. In Romans chapter 13, Paul states that Jesus is descended from David according to the flesh. While Jesus himself spoke in Revelation chapter 22, verse 16, and said, "I am the root and the offspring of David." And so, in Jesus and his final lordship at the end of all things, is God's promise to David through the prophet Nathan finally fulfilled. I trust this has been helpful to you and hope you will join me for our final look at the covenants in part 7. Let's pray. Most gracious, covenant-keeping God, we thank you that in every way you are so faithful and true. Help us to live in faithfulness before you as your covenant people, that others may come to know the one who gives life abundant through Jesus Christ. Amen. And God bless you.